Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. Quick observation, quick rant of truth on just something that I think people are missing as they criticize the actions at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. So I've seen the video, and then some more clear video came out Thursday. Had a chance to look at it on Friday. Gonna let this post because it's mostly evergreen. Not on Friday, probably on Saturday or Sunday, whenever you see it. But supposedly there's some criticism still left, and I think people are missing some of the point that would maybe knock down the criticism. This is as to the five shots that were all missed. Well, how do you miss shots from that close a range? All right, let's talk about this. If you've seen the video, also Vince, the Vince Show, the guy kind of stood in for Bongino there. Watched a little bit of that. He had video. And going to add the extra observation about the dog, which he had, which is a great observation. So the framing of the footage is at about the three-quarters to the left and three-quarters up vertically on the frame is the magnetic detector or the detector one would have to go through. And then past that toward the upper left corner is the hallway from which the shooter comes. And Vince points out astutely early on that you can see that the guy comes into frame, and it might be right at the beginning of the footage because I don't really remember seeing him hardly walk, but it's at the very top corner. And you can see that a dog apparently signals on the guy, and the handler therefore is at the end of the leash, and they go into a doorway to the right. Vince wonders, is that kind of like, oh, no, I'm going this way? And so they take their interest away. So the dog signals, this is just a point of interest, not my point for this episode, just a great observation by Vince. I don't even know that guy's last name. And so the dog and the handler go into that right room with the guy. And, you know, maybe that's a hallway. I don't know what it is. But it's the first room as you're going up that hallway away from the magnetic detector. And so anyway, they come back out in the hallway and veer left. As soon as they do, he comes sprinting back out, turning left, coming toward the magnet, the detector there. So that's the framing, is that hallway is up to the left, the magnet, the detector's that mostly left side. I said 75% up the screen, probably 50% up the screen. And then if you make a straight line kind of from the hallway straight through the detector, like the guy is running through the detector, that straight line would basically run into the Secret Service or rather uniformed police officer that is at the bottom of your picture. That straight line basically comes right at him. And then just to his, well, to our right as we're looking down, there's a guy breaking down a magnetometer or whatever those detectors are about 3 feet away, 4 feet, 5 feet away from that uniformed officer. This guy's in a suit, and you've got the big case that the magnetometer, the detector would go in. And in between there creates a little bit of a running lane between the two. And so what we see is the shooter sprinting through the detector, and right as he comes through, he's raising the rifle or the shotgun, whatever it was. I think it was a shotgun, that's right. And he aims it right at the uniform officer at the bottom of the screen, the one that I said is straight in line. He's the one who's shot. You can see him raised to about shoulder level. Interestingly, and I think Vince is right about this, you don't see a muzzle flash, but these are not, you know, high rate cameras necessarily. So you wouldn't necessarily see the muzzle flash. And you do see the muzzle flash when the police officer returns fire. So now what happens is a guy goes directly in this small little area in between the uniformed officer and the officer in a suit. He could have reached out and elbowed either one of them on the way through. There was such tight quarters. Like the guy in the uniform kind of had to veer away, because he noticed what was happening a moment later. the guy who got shot was a guy who he was pulling his gun as the guy was running through the detector sprinting. Very, very quick action. And so some criticism occurs because five shots didn't hit the guy. Turns out that all five of the shots came from the guy who got shot. And Vince and others might be like, really? What kind of training do you have? You can't hit a guy at close quarters. And I hear that generally. That sounds like that's not very good. But I want to do a little bit of pushback in this regard. It's really about angular velocity. So how quickly do you have to spin to keep track of something? Okay, if something is way out in the field and it's going generally left or right, but it's 50 yards away, even if it's moving quickly, you can kind of start to track that lead, right? I'm no shooter or anything, but just think about that you would lead it a little bit. You would lead toward the front of the animal, and that's just out, way out there. And really, even though you're leading, as far as you're 360 degrees around you, we're talking about, you know, 5 degrees a second at the most, probably, which isn't too much movement for you to have to lead. Now, the closer that the thing gets to you, the quicker that lead and that angular change, right, for their same speed. If they're going 15 miles an hour, but they're 100 yards away, versus 15 miles an hour and they're 50 yards away, that change in angular velocity, how much you must compensate, how much you must adjust your shot is greater, right? Now imagine the literal most extreme case of this. Rather than running across your view, they're running right next to you. And first you're facing them, and then after you've been shot, you're now trying to spin as they've gone right next to you and are veering away. And so with that type of angular velocity, it is so much more of an adjustment, especially when you're trying to do it quickly. An animal out in the wilderness, 50 yards away, you're like, hold, hold, and squeeze. This is not like that. You're trying to stop a threat that has gone right next to you, basically touched you, from in front left to extreme back and right. Okay, that is a total different adjustment than the typical situation of even shooting targets. That's not to say that it's not a good idea to potentially improve training for those types of situations, but as it is inherently a hard adjustment, let alone that the guy got shot and he's the one who returned fire. And to Vince's point, that first shot that you can see the muzzle blast with, because I don't know that he got a shot off as the guy was coming. He was already pointing, but I don't know that he got a shot off while the shooter was coming through the detector. But he was already pointing. Like, this guy was pretty on the ball compared to everybody else. And he's the one who returned fire quickly. And who knows, maybe, I say who knows, other people might know. I have not tried to piece it together. That piece of footage didn't show. How does that correspond to the guy ending up on the floor? Did somebody just tackle him? Did the guy kind of go down because he heard five shots? So he's like, shit, let me try to avoid this real quick. Or exactly what happened. And so, you know, very heroic stuff, honestly, to get off five shots that quickly. Because even getting the five shots off might have deterred the shooter. Because if he's not careful, even if he thinks he's going to die, he still is trying to get to the ballroom. So does he take evasive measures? I don't know. Other people probably answered that. But, you know, maybe it was just a straight-up tackle. But even if it was a straight-up tackle, five shots shows resistance. And that's what you want to do when someone's trying to sprint through to the president. So overall, heroic stuff. And after or as he's getting shot and realizes he's getting shot. Now, he had the vest on, or probably, I don't know where it said it hit him exactly, hit him in the vest. It may not have been fatal, but big shotgun blast that close could have been. It's a lot of force, and it wouldn't have been very spread out. It would have caused a lot of damage. So it could have been one of those adrenaline, I didn't even realize I was hit type of things. But still, you kind of know you were hit, even if before you know you're like, am I hit? So for that guy to return fire that quickly in five shots is pretty impressive. that angular adjustment. It's like the maximum angular adjustment you can have. Like I said, from front kind of center to straight past you as you're getting hit to your back left. And you get off five shots. That's pretty good. So just wanted to add that nuance. And one other nuance, and I think Vince was spot on this. For people, I get it, dumping on, you know, female agents, blah, blah, blah. When you can, it's an easy target, right? In Butler, the woman who couldn't seem to get her gun out, so on and so forth. I mean, there are white, there are guys, and guys who, hey, if it's their first action and they're not ready, and all of a sudden just crazy things are happening, if you look at a set of 15 of them, then you're going to find 2 to 3 that look pretty spastic and pretty pretty panicked as opposed to composed. So I get it. I get, you know, trying to pick on women, and then also I get, hey, well, we're looking at everybody, not everybody. There's a whole group, and you can say, boy, that response wasn't very good. If you're not trying to pick on women, you can do that. You can look and say, well, that response wasn't very good. And what I'm talking about is if that same frame I put up for you, think of the visuals, like just to the right of where the detector is, you're going up that hallway, to the right of the detector and probably a little bit into the hallway, about 3 people were standing there. And they basically flee. But to Vince's point, that's TSA people. They're not defensive effort people. They're hanging out still while this thing's being closed down. They kind of have to be there, but they probably kind of just need to also stay with the equipment, so on and so forth. So we don't have to bag extra on people. We really don't. We can be better than that instead of just always trolling and taking low-hanging fruit. And most of the officers were pretty quick to respond. It's just that guy did have a good idea. If I'm going to blitz him, I'm going to go late so I have fewer things to go through. I'm going to go as fast as possible while they're tearing down, which you could question that. Like, is there any really reason to tear down if these detectors do create a little bit of a barrier? Instead of worrying about tearing down, do we not just stay alert and be ready all the way until the end of the event and the president has left? That's probably their lesson, is just to go, I know everybody's in there, but we don't really have to tear down yet. We can, they'll pay us if we tear down after the president's gone. They'll still pay us. In the meantime, let's be in ready mode. And that's probably the improvement, right? But if you looked at all the other officers besides the TSA folks, man, all of them drew their gun pretty quick. Like that guy that's mostly bottom center that I said was 3-4 feet away from the guy who was shot at. This is the fellow who was in the suit, more like maybe Secret Service. And he seemed to be helping down take down the detector. But I can't remember. Maybe he was just standing near that detector or the detector's box that was already down. He basically got brushed by the shooter because the shooter wasn't trying to get off 2 shots that quickly. It just didn't make sense. And he spun around and had his gun out quick. And so did everybody else. And obviously the people further close to him got to him, or maybe they're the ones who tackled him. I don't know if he fell. I'd have to see that again. But if you look off to the right, I can't remember, this is a slightly different angle, but if you go, or it's just at the far right of the view, one of those two, but in this kind of little opened out area, past the detectors and to the right, there's a set of doors nearby. It might be the stairwells, I'm unsure. And immediately, in that same few seconds, you see 2 guys coming out and drawing their guns, and then more folks flooding out and drawing their guns. So I just think it's low-hanging fruit to look at the TSA folks' reactions and lump that in. But again, I do think you do strategically. You could go back and have the mission of, hey, what about close quarters? How do we respond with our gun in close quarters? Let's get them into those situations. What if somebody goes right past you? It's not all target range, things are 30 feet away, one target, then the other, just moving across or being in different spots. Sometimes it's really close. What do you do with close quarters and you need to engage in a firefight that suddenly is close quarters out of surprise? I think that is a good improvement. And then secondarily, I think also, as I said, just the idea of there's no reason to break down that early. There's just no reason. And then, of course, the third one is, if the dog detects, Vince says, I'd be interested in that. I would be, too. That makes a lot of sense. Is there a certain signal that you get, or does a handler know what the dog is signaling to? Is the dog signaling to, his speculation was gunpowder? Is that different than other? Or do you know, what is your procedure? Because usually it doesn't amount to much. But what's your procedure? Is your procedure, it doesn't matter because the present is nearby and this guy is being stopped. I go after him and two more officers come with me immediately to detain him at the moment. Because what happened is, as I said, the dog followed him into that room almost like maybe the guy's going, oh, I'm going to need to act like I'm just being nonchalant here. So I'm going to go into this room. And maybe he said, I don't know if that's a room or a hallway. Maybe he said, oh, no, I'm just going to go check something over here at the end of the room. But nonetheless, within seconds, really, the handler came back out with the dog who had detected, seemingly, because he followed the guy. And seconds later, they just veered out and went to their right, to our left as we view it, up away from the detectors. And almost immediately after they turned, the shooter comes sprinting out of that room to his left toward the detector. So, you know, maybe three-ish lessons there. But again, and again, one of them could be about that close quarters shooting. And what do you do in very close quarters? And to just get that practice of shooting targets close quarters would be difficult, right? Like, how do you set up that training with actual guns? But, you know, but to say that it's like, how did you miss five times? It's not exactly the same thing. It was literally the same guy who had been shot and had to spin the most of all of the shooters. He had to spin the most. He is a literal pivot point of where the guy went compared to any other shooter. And he's the only one who got the shot off. So had someone who had not been shot happened to have seen the guy earlier, then he would have had a lot easier shot and may have hit him, one of the other three or four. Okay, guys, that's it for the Scales of Truth. Thanks for listening. Check me out over on Comology 411 with Kim Schultz as well. Thanks.